Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Joining me today at the cafe is Chrissy Elblin, founder and CEO of Carefree Concierge, to discuss how to get more time back in your day to focus on your business and other important things in life. Chrissy, welcome.
Thank you for having me here today.
I'm excited to have you here. I think we're going to have a great discussion. Mm-hmm. But before we get started, let's take a minute or two to tell the audience about you and your business to kind of put it in perspective.
Okay, well, I'm Chrissy Elblin, the founder and CEO of Carefree Concierge, a business I started back in 2007. And it's really about helping our clients get back that non-renewable resource, which is time, something we all want and need more of, and just helping them lead less stressed lives and be more productive. So, in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny when you said that, my mind flashed right to an hourglass and that the sand of life just kind of slowly ticking out. And there's a lot of sand for some and maybe not so much for others. So it's really important to your point. We can't get it back. If we could, then we'd all
can't
go back in
more
time.
Of it. Can't stop it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So before we start and kind of get into the topic of today, I ask a couple questions of my guests. The first one is, when thinking about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Well, I'm not sure if it's something that keeps me up at night, but every day I ask myself, what could I have done better for my clients? What could I have done better for my company and my team? And also, what could I have done better for myself? So that's a question I ask myself regularly, daily.
Do you get answers?
Sometimes I do, and sometimes not. Not the answers I want, maybe, but.
All right. All right. And then the other is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
Well, to follow my instincts and believe in myself. Yeah. So that's the best advice I've received.
Okay. Is there something that's kind of rooted in that part about believing in yourself?
Well, I think you got to have that confidence. And sometimes we struggle with that, especially me. I mean, as a business owner, too, you constantly got to maintain that drive and get up and go every day. So you have to believe in yourself, most importantly.
Yeah. If people ask me, how's your day? And my answer is usually I got up. So far, so good. But to your point, it's about, I think as an entrepreneur, it's really, and I'll speak for you and you can agree or disagree, it's about that motivation. It is about that drive, because no one pushes us. There's no boss, you know, in the ivory tower coming down and telling us what to do. So that that really drives us. So I want to talk about your business. Again, a lot of this is about business growth and some insights that we can impart to our listeners today. Mm-hmm. But when they think about your company, and your purpose, really, and I like this, it's about your customers or members with the freedom and flexibility to do what's most important. That could be family and friends and hobbies and exercise, traveling, volunteering, my wife would say more exercising, and really anything else that really helps us. Mm-hmm. Now, what led you to this business concept?
Well, I love working with people, and I love helping people and doing a variety of different things. And I always knew I wanted to have my own business. And so I did a lot of research, came across the idea of a personal concierge, and the rest is history. I started it immediately, and I love it. I love every minute of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not your first business.
You have
actually a few of them kind of going on simultaneously.
I do. Yes. Well, this is my first business. I started back in 2007.
Okay.
But I was also the COO of Golden Spoon for a little over eight years.
Yeah, one of my favorites, by the way.
Yes, mine too. And then I have a coffee company called My Java Roaster and a lifestyle business called Fashion Food Music. So
okay.
Several things
now,
going on.
Do you have employees with Carefree?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have employees with the others?
I have a partner with My Java Roaster. Fashion Food Music is all me. With Carefree Concierge, we have a team of seven. So,
okay.
Plus all of our vendors and partners that we have that support our services. So,
all right. So I'm going to ask a really important question.
Mm-hmm.
You're a busy woman.
Yeah.
Do you provide yourself services?
Well, I do rely on some of our partners and everything, and I've utilized their services for myself. My team, I do not. So
okay.
I don't want to cross that line. But yeah, I need a concierge. I jokingly say that all the time. I need to hire myself. So
yeah, I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this interview. It's like, well, I wonder if she hires herself to do all this work.
Yeah.
Now, when you came across this business, I mean, did you, so as an entrepreneur starting a new business, mm-hmm. I mean, you just go, hey, this sounds great. I'm going to jump right into it. Or did you spend some time researching it, you know, traditional research or talking to family and friends? How did you come up with this concept? And for those entrepreneurs listening today, what's some guidance about, you know, is it a leap of faith or, hey, you got to do a little due diligence before you kind of run out there? And
absolutely. Well, I did quite a bit of research. Okay. Researching the market, market needs, potential customer base, revenue sourcing, which I think are things that every person starting a business, it's incredibly important to do. So eventually you have to hit the ground running, but doing that research prior is going to help you. So
yeah, I think that's so important. I deal in as a consultant with a lot of startups, and a lot of times I find that they just fell in love with their idea and, you know, build it and they will come. And it doesn't always happen that way.
Oh, it never happens that way from my experience. Yeah,
more often than not, it doesn't. Yeah. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So has it gone the way you anticipated? What would you have done differently as a business owner? Was it? Started 2007. So, wow. What are we?
The worst time to start
13,
a company,
14,
by the way.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Uh-huh. I tried to start one in 2009. It didn't go very well.
Yep. But I think, well, if you can, you know, I guess make it through that time, then it helps you become stronger. And it was definitely challenging. It was a challenging time. So, so things have gone as expected in some ways and not in other ways. So I think it's really difficult to plan out every step when you're starting a business. And it's important to remain flexible, adapt, overcome, improvise. And, you know, Murphy's Law is always waiting around the corner, and it's usually at the worst time ever. So being prepared.
Right. Well, now you mentioned you were the COO at Golden Spoon. Mm-hmm. So that really gave you a lot of perspective on operations and things like that. Mm-hmm. How is that experience played into, you know, the entrepreneurial side of it?
That experience was incredibly valuable. I truly appreciate it. I think a lot of it does trickle over, just from, you know, making sure that you have a business plan in place and, you know, it's fluid, it's ever changing, but you have to have something that you're constantly reaching towards your goals. Just having all those operational pieces in place. I have an operations manager, vice president overseeing everything, and I couldn't do it without him. So.
Okay. You talked about business plans in place and all.
Marketing plan, all of it.
Do you have all that?
I do, yes, 100%. Right. Yeah, I had a business coach actually back when I was starting, an old family friend. But he would meet with me regularly when I was creating this company, Carefree Concierge. And he just taught me the importance of having that business plan in place. And so ever since then, I've drilled in the importance to, you know, fellow colleagues and stuff too. So
yeah, well, I commend you on that. I've worked with companies that are 30 years old. Mm-hmm. That unfortunately have just been kind of winging it. Mm-hmm. They've grown sort of, but at the end of the day, they didn't actually have any kind of formalized plan or formalized process.
And as you're growing, you know, and you're building a team, you got to make sure that everyone has the same vision. They're all on the same page. So, you know, your marketing department, which, you know, obviously, you know, unless they're on the same page with the business goals, then, you know, what are you, you know, marketing for?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. So I want to dig a little more into the business because I find it fascinating. And I actually had inquired about a service myself. I was getting ready to go on vacation and I was looking for someone to take care of my plants. And you did find me somebody.
Yes.
I was already back from vacation, but you did find me somebody. But now that's in your repertoire. So if you think about personal shopping and home services, you know, virtual assistants, I think are things. But you also cater to the corporate side. So we've got the personal and the corporate. Mm-hmm. So since this is a business show, let's flip to the corporate side a little bit and talk about, you know, how do business owners utilize your services and what do you find consistent from a, you know, you offer 10 things, what's being utilized and what's not being utilized?
Yeah, well, we work with companies in a variety of different ways. And really, it's we customize a plan for each business that we work with. You know, if it's an employee benefit program that we're going to be rolling out with using our concierge services, then we want to know how many employees are going to be accessing the services, how many employees you have, how many hours will they want access to each month, what's your budget, so things of that nature. But offering our services as an employee benefit to help increase productivity, attract the best talent, retain that talent. That's really what it's all about. And ultimately the bottom line for the business owner. So,
okay. Now I've done a couple shows on employee benefits and there's kind of a lot of new trends going on, whether it's pet insurance or debt repayment, all that kind of stuff. So this is kind of a new addition, really.
Thinking outside the box. You can, I mean, especially in a competitive job market like it is, you know, now, you got to, you know, work hard to attract those top talents. So
when you deal with somebody on the corporate side, are you dealing with the HR folks? Are you dealing with the people at the top? Who's your target?
It depends on the company. So yes, HR is frequently who we work with, but also the CEO, the COO as well. So
do they get it right away?
I would say some businesses do, and some don't. So some take a little bit more convincing. So, and I would say law firms definitely get it. They're busy. They're stressed. Wealth management companies get it, and we have several companies that we work with, and they offer our services to their clients. Not just their employees.
Not just their employees. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So tell me about a story. I like doing stories. So tell me about a business. You don't have to name them, but successful engagement, how that kind of process went and how it ended up.
Well, I recently started working with a company that I'd known the business owner for a while, and I knew that they were struggling to, like we were just talking about, attracting the best talent. Their employees were just low morale, not productive. They weren't keeping their employees, they weren't retaining them. And so we were trying to strategize and find a plan that could help them, you know, attract the best talent, retain them, increase productivity. So we met several times, discussed an employee benefit program, rolled it out, and their employees have definitely become more productive in a short amount of time. They're using the services, which is great. So they see the value themselves. They appreciate their leadership more. So it's improved morale, their customer service, everything. So hopefully, ultimately, it will increase the bottom line for the business owner, and we'll just, you know,
kind of keep playing it. Did you guys talk to the employees? Did you kind of say, here's a program, and kind of get their feedback and helping to shape what that looks like?
Yeah, we definitely have we roll it out. We have an introduction. We share ways that they can use our services, 50 ways to utilize a Carefree concierge service, that kind of thing. And, you know, who your contact's going to be, and the whole process of arranging their services. So errand-based services are definitely the most used. So your grocery shopping, your dog walking, the dry cleaning, those daily stressors that keep them, you know, stressed and then unproductive because they're just distracted during the workday. So
now you're not, or maybe you are, maybe you're not, services as far as, you know, kind of being a life coach. Do you do that too? And somebody that's really stressed and need some guidance and help, do you guys offer that service as well?
Well, I mean, on the individual side, we work really closely with our clients. Okay. So maybe to some degree, but not, I wouldn't say technically. That's not really
what
we're
licensed.
No, we're not. So.
All right. This is not a therapy session, folks.
Yeah. Kind of like your hairdresser or something like that. That's maybe we could consider ourselves that.
But. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where do you focus?
Well, historically, it's been on the individual side, but really, I think the way to scale the business is working more with companies and just seeing that they've seen the value of our services recently. I think it's just that's really where I want to put my time and focus on is working that side of it. So,
Okay. When you're looking at evaluating kind of your growth strategies, and again, this is for businesses as well. So as a COO of Golden Spoon, and of course as the CEO of your company, how do you sit down and say, okay, here's all the different things we can offer. Here's all the different products and services that we have. How do I identify where I really want to focus? Where's my greatest return, whether it's more services to existing clients or identifying new markets or verticals to go into? How do you approach kind of that marketing side? I mean, I know the answers, but I'm asking you your answers.
Gotcha. Well, let me see if I understand the question, I guess.
It's a multi-part.
Yeah. Because we work with our clients in such a variety of different ways. We really want to be that go-to resource for our clients for everything. And we're able to do that because of the team that we've built and through our partners and vendors. And so we're always, you know, when we get new requests from our clients, then we are going to say yes, and we're going to figure out how to do it. And we're going to figure out how to do it and exceed their expectations. So, I mean, most of our business is referral-based just because of the high trust nature of what we do. But yeah, I mean, I try to do things such as this, the radio show today, and getting the word out there and awareness. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, pretty close. But I mean, identifying, if you're going to, I'll go back to myself. I need a plant person.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a service you had at the time.
Right.
So do you say,
now I have one.
You have one. But I mean, if you think about it, do you say, and again, take it to a widget, any kind of widget, right? Do you say, okay, I'm going to go find this plant person, or I'm going to go build this widget for Ponzi because he's asked me, mm-hmm. or is there a real demand for plant services? I mean, how do you, now you probably did it because I was asking, but how do you sit there and evaluate, say, man, that's a great service, but I don't really have a demand for it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to my customers. So how do you, as the business owner, really dig down and say, what's my next step? What's my next service? How do I add stuff to make sure that it's
being... I guess it is based on demand and like the, you know, the request that we receive. But with regards to the plant, I mean, ever since we had that discussion, I do have two clients that have utilized that service. So, I mean, yeah, I think we really try to, you know, be that go-to person for each individual client. So it's not like we're not going to say no unless it's, you know, illegal or unethical. We're going to figure out how.
Okay.
And so like a concierge that, you know,
at the hotels.
Yeah, the peninsula or whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. All right. So we talked a little bit about achieving balance in your life. I used that in the promotion. I had a lot of clicks and likes on that one. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations about that months ago when I first started this podcast. So finding balance in your life can be difficult. We all want it. But we all really don't know how to achieve it. Mm-hmm. So whether it's family obligations or work activities, your kids' situations come up. Mm-hmm. So I'll say three tips, can be four tips, five, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's your show. that you want to give the listeners to say, here's some of the things you can do to help you achieve, or at least thinking about how to achieve a work-life balance.
Well, so I guess I want to first start by saying the idea, and I've thrown it around there too, but the idea of a true work-life balance is a fallacy. Because you think about it, and work and life are so interconnected. For example, if you get a raise or you get fired from your job at work, that's going to affect your personal life. Mm-hmm. If you have a baby or you get in a car accident in your personal life, that's going to affect your work life. So I think that, you know, it's you can look at your personal life and your work life, but then you need to find those areas that can be delegated, outsourced, or stopped altogether. And once you identify these areas, then Carefree Concierge can take them off your plate. and then you can just
shameless plug there.
be less stressed and more productive, which, you know, get that time back so you can spend it with your family on your work, doing the things you love in life, you know. So.
All right. I'm going to push you a little harder on this one.
Okay.
So let's get some specifics. Uh-huh. Right. So pick yourself if you want to talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you sit there and say, okay, you're now working three jobs, you're the owner of two and the main person on another one. Uh-huh. So how do you find that work-life balance and that really offers some insights? Because it is a struggle. I've been talking about this for years, and I haven't yet quite figured out how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I've done things like stopping work early, trying to eat dinner early, you know, trying to find activities. My wife and I actually, we exercise together. We hike, we bike, we spin. So trying to find things that we can do together and like to do. But part of that is it's the pressures. It's you know, we're sitting out in the hallway waiting to go on the show. We're checking our phones and, you know, the client's calling us and, right, the anxiety levels go up. So some of that we can't. Mitigate, but some of it we can. Mm-hmm. So again, I'm going to dig in a little deeper.
Yeah.
Give me a tip. One of the things before I'm going to let you go, one of the things that somebody told me years ago when I used to get nervous in front of people is they gave me a worry stone or a worry coin and I used to keep it and I would just rub it all the time. And that used to kind of be a little calming.
Yeah.
And so
I have the little Chinese balls, you know,
they're
great.
So little tips. Right. I was telling somebody on the show, I think it was the show that I speak all the time, but I still get a little nervous in those first 30 or 40 seconds.
Absolutely.
So when I used to play in a band, I'd always say to myself, it's showtime. Mm-hmm. And so I still do that to this day. So those are kind of my little, I don't say idiosyncrasies, but whatever they are, my tools. So back to the question now that I've really wandered off the path, I'm going to bring
you
back.
That was good. Well, I think learning to log and chart your time is very helpful. So you can identify those areas that, you know, you things you can stop doing altogether. Use an example in a speech I just gave recently that, you know, stop watching cat videos on YouTube, you know.
Oh,
and
damn.
Things you can automate, such as bill paying online, and then things you can delegate, such as your grocery shopping, your dog walking, those picking up the dry cleaner, travel arrangements, organizing your events. These are all things that we do and that you can delegate out so that you're not dealing with the stress of them.
Yeah, there's a Stephen Covey, kind of the four quadrants on where people spend their time, you know, the urgent and the effective. And there's that one down to quadrant four that's a really a lot of wasted time. And and I use that in my presentations, and I put Netflix in that box. And unfortunately, I fall in that box sometimes when you binge watch, you know, 56 hours.
Checking your Instagram all day long, or Facebook. I mean, all of those things, they take away from your productivity and other things that you enjoy in life, like time with family or travel, and you know, so.
Well, I think that, to your point, there's looking for efficiencies. I know one of the things that somebody told me one time, I was telling them that I have this tendency, if I'm working and my email's popping up, I tend to, you know, like the shiny penny, it keeps catching my eye. So now I turn the email off. I set my phone. Timer for like 30 minutes or whatever.
You bring up a great time or a great idea. Time batching is incredibly important. Setting aside that time for checking emails, answering phone calls, you know, doing actual work, time with family at the end of the day.
So, and really pushing that aside. I mean, we've all been at the restaurant and looking around the tables. Hopefully we're not the ones doing that. But everybody's on their phone and texting, and yet you're out to dinner with your spouse or your loved one or your family, your kids, and everybody's on the phone texting.
That's sad. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And there's the opportunity for some of that balance, right? It all doesn't exist on the phone.
Right.
So hang on one second. Paul, how are we doing? 2 minutes. Wow.
Uh-oh.
Given all that you've accomplished, what are you most proud of?
I think my ability to remain positive and maintain a strong service-minded work ethic for our clients.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to start to wind this down. So we've covered a lot of topics on the concept of giving back more time and about your business. So when you think about, you know, if you're wasting too much time and spending time on the wrong things, any final parting words, wisdom that you'd like to give the audience?
Well, I mean, our motto is buy back time. So just finding those things that you can delegate, get them off your plate so that you can stay focused, you know, productive, stress-free, or at least less stressed, and just live a happier life.
You know, and I'm going to end with that because that's actually a great piece of advice. How can you buy back time in your life,
right?
And it, to your point, it's a commodity that, that is precious and we can't get back. So that's really good. So Chrissy, thank you so much. Why don't you tell the listeners how they could reach you and get a hold of you and all that good stuff.
Well, you can reach us at our website, carefreeconcierge.us, or you can email us at info@carefreeconcierge.us or call our office at 949-397-8134.
And you're on LinkedIn and all the social
channels.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I'm obnoxious.
You are omnipresent. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And thank you, audience, for joining us at the cafe this week. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive future information at theponzigroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd love to talk to you about the opportunity and the benefits of working with a fractional CMO. And if you're a small business looking for a business coach or advice, please reach out to me as well. Lastly, please subscribe to the show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to tell other people about the show. Let's grow this audience. You can go to thebusinessgrowthcafe.com or on any major podcast platform such as iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and that's a mouthful. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe. Thank you, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.